Well, good morning. My name's Ben. It's great to be here. New year, and we get to be here to learn from God's word. I'm going to pray for us as we get started, and we're going to look at Matthew 23 that we just had read. But first, let's pray. God, we thank you for the words that have been recorded for us here in Matthew, and I just pray that for each and every one of us now, you know what burdens we've brought here today, what we need to hear exactly. I just pray that you will be speaking to each and every person here through your Spirit. Lord, please remove distractions and help me to speak clearly and faithfully as well. Amen. Operation Paperclip. Sounds innocent enough. Harmless office supplies, you might say. But in the final days of World War II, that paperclip actually marked something far darker. 1945, America publicly pledged at the end of the war not to recruit any Nazi supporters. But intelligence officers did the opposite. More than 1,500 German scientists and engineers were brought over to the United States, and many of them still had deep ties with the Nazi war machine. And to make all this possible, you know, associations were downplayed, or, oh, we'll just keep that one quiet. Things were sanitized. So some of the men became American heroes, actually. They went on to contribute to things like the space race. And so while some of the Nazi leaders were being tried at Nuremberg, others were privately employed for their usefulness by the United States. And so Operation Paperclip, it reveals this sobering truth. And that is that we as humans are remarkably skilled at condemning evil in others while excusing it when it serves our own purposes. As we're going to see today, hypocrisy, it's not just a Cold War problem. It's actually a human heart problem. And Jesus, he exposes this very thing. And as we talk about hypocrisy, it's helpful just to define again what we mean. So Mark has talked in previous weeks about this being like stage actors who would put on a mask and play someone different. You would call them a hypocrite, so they're acting. And from Matthew 23 today, we're going to get just a little bit of a tighter definition as well. And essentially, it's not the gap between doing and feeling something. Hypocrisy, it's this gap between your public persona and your private character. And we're going to see hypocrisy is the failure to practice what you preach, appearing outwardly righteous to others while actually being full uncleanness and just self-indulgence. And so to set the scene for you in Matthew 23, the last couple of chapters, Jesus has been teaching in the temple courts at Passover time. Now, Passover for the Jewish people is incredibly significant. Imagine like Easter, Christmas, and New Year celebrations all together. So all the Jewish people have come to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover, this massive, massive celebration. Jerusalem is packed. And Jesus is there in the temple courts in Jerusalem, and he has been teaching. And you remember in some of the previous weeks that we've looked at, the religious leaders have been coming up to Jesus, and they've been trying to trick him up, asking him questions about, oh, should we pay taxes to Caesar or not? What does marriage look like in heaven? What are the two greatest commandments? They're all things that Jesus has been asked. And so now we get to Matthew 23, and we kind of have the first 12 verses where Jesus, he continues to talk to the disciples and the crowds who are there. And then in verse 13, it's like he then just looks directly in the eyes of the religious leaders. And he just goes at them with what's called the seven woes to the Pharisees as well. And as we come to this passage today, I think the question that we are challenged with is this. Are we more concerned with how we appear to other people than how we are before God? And so we're going to dig into this a little bit today. And we're going to start off by Jesus calling out the hypocrisy in the Pharisees in what I'm calling, it's not Operation Paperclip, but this is Operation Whitewash. Jesus, he calls out the religious leaders on Operation Whitewash. We're going to read from verse 27 in Matthew chapter 23. Jesus speaking to the religious teachers. He says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones and of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness." It's this image of a whitewashed tomb. Whitewash is like this plaster that they would use, kind of like crushed up lime with water, and it would cover over any blemishes or cracks or imperfections. And they would often use it to cover like the outsides of tombs to make them look nice and pretty. These days we use render on houses, similar sort of thing, just a different material. They would use whitewash. And Jesus calls out the Pharisees for their dealings in Operation Whitewash, because this is what consumed them. Imagine these tombs in Jerusalem, just dazzling on the hillside, covered in whitewash. Pretty impressive on the outside, but on the inside, dead. Just full of bones. Everything unclean. One of the early Bible translators, William Tyndale, instead of using whitewashed tombs, he used the term painted tombs, which I found really helpful because have you ever had like mold in your house or in your bathroom? You know, black, nasty mold that just pops up if you've got moisture around the place. If you just paint straight over that mold, what's going to happen within a few weeks, a few months to that mold? What's going to happen? It's just going to come straight back through, isn't it? You've covered over with this tiny layer of paint and that mold is still there. It's just going to leach back through. The problem is not fixed. And that paint, it was just covering up temporarily this thin layer of filth that's underneath. That's what Jesus is doing to the Pharisees. He's accusing them of having this shallow public persona that was not in line with their private lives. And so Jesus confronts the teachers of the law here, all the religious leaders of the time, you know, the pastors, ministers, preachers. Jesus confronts them of Operation Whitewash. They make this impressive effort to maintain this outer appearance that looks really good, but on the inside, dead. I think, though, it's not just about the religious leaders then, though. It's also about our hearts, isn't it? You know, we are so prone to wandering away from God. You know, what areas of our life do we not want exposed? What cracks, what blemishes, what black mold have we got that we don't want to bring out into the open? You know, rather than plastering photos of ourselves online for people to see how good we are, I wonder if we could be content with people knowing us for who we really are and not this picture-perfect person. Or do we avoid having certain conversations with people for fear that we may have to ask them to forgive us for something that we've done wrong? Are we more concerned with how we appear before others than how we appear before God? And the answer to that question really matters because it has eternal consequences too. So what exactly was hiding behind this polished exterior of the Pharisees? Well, Jesus moves on to point out exactly what to look for. And he says to the crowd, follow the Pharisee teaching, but not their example. And here we see just a classic example of do what they say, but not what they do. Matthew 23, verse 1. Jesus talking to the crowds and the disciples. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must be careful to do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do. They don't practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders. They themselves not even willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is for people to see. They make their phylacteries wide, the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi by others. Jesus says, listen to them because they sit in Moses' seat of authority, position of authority. But listen to them, but don't do what they do. Don't behave like they do. Because these religious leaders, they're putting all these extra burdens on other people. They don't even lift a finger to do anything themselves. These leaders, they want people to see them, acknowledge them, follow them because they're impressive to marvel at. And so they carry around, you notice the word phylacteries. It's like this little box that would have bits of scripture written on them, like the commands of Moses. And so they would wear this little box on their forehead, symbolically, and also on their arm as well. So they would have the box here and a box here. And so when it talks about they enlarge their phylacteries, they've just got these big, impressive-looking boxes so everyone knows how holy they are. It's all just to inflate their pride. They've got their big, long, dangly garments. Look at me. They loved being the VIPs. They get this first-class treatment. They were meant to be bringing glory to God, but bringing glory to themselves, aren't they? They love being called rabbi, which means teacher. Instead of pointing to the one true teacher, they love these titles that people give them. Makes them feel good. No humility, no love for other people. It's like having a driving instructor who teaches you all the road rules perfectly, but then they drop you off and they speed off. They're on their phone, they're running red lights. So you learn the road rules from them. Sure, they know the road rules, but you never want to be in the car with them when they're driving. Terrifying. Friends, Christ calls us to live a life of humility. Not a life of outward display to impress others. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And on that final day, those who humble themselves will be exalted. He says this because if we're not humble, we can't fulfill the two greatest commands that was just talked about just before this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourselves. Friends, if we aren't humble, then we can't love God. We can't come before God admitting that we don't have our lives together. If we aren't humble, then we can't love God and we can't love the people who are around us. We need humility, not pride, not this outer fake facade. In our families, when there's conflict, this could look like not winning an argument, but maybe willing to admit fault. Not trying to win the argument, but trying to win that person over again. Win that relationship back. Now, that can be really hard. Really, really hard. You have to swallow a lot of pride. But it's acting with humility in order to love others. Maybe it could look like taking on jobs at home that no one else wants to do. But for the sake of loving those around us, you take them on and you do it anyway. Not trying to be seen, but in order to love others. Now you think just in these first couple of verses, Jesus would be done laying into the Pharisees. But no, he keeps going. Those seven woes are coming. And he exposes exactly what's behind Operation Whitewash and what it looks like in practice. And Jesus exposes the corruption behind their religious performance that's just going on. I remember at this point, it's like he's stepped forward. Instead of talking to the crowds, he's looking directly in the eyes of the religious leaders at this point as he is laying down all of these woes. Commonly known as the seven woes, we're just going to look very briefly at two of them. And I'm going to read out one of them in just a moment. I want us just to think, what does Jesus accuse the religious leaders of? What does he call them? Just short answers. I'm looking for in just a moment. What does Jesus accuse the religious leaders of? So I'm going to read this one for us first, Matthew 23, verse 23. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you've neglected the more important matters of the law. Justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat, but you swallow a camel. What does Jesus, looking for answers here, what does Jesus accuse the religious leaders of here? What does he call them? What does he accuse them of? I'm hearing hypocrisy and anything else? Unjust, yep, hypocrites. Anything else? Blind, yeah, blind guides. Yeah, like the blind leading the blind, right? Yeah. These guys, they put the last things first and the first things last. They've got it completely wrong way around. Jesus says neglect. That's mentioned twice as well. They've neglected what they were meant to do. They've chose the quick and easy route of Operation Whitewash, just going around and collecting up their spices and their herbs. So they go to their herb garden and they trim off 10% of all their herb leaves. One, two, three, and every single herb. And they got a nice big basket. They can take it to the temple and say, oh, here we go. Here's my tithe. This is what I brought. Nice, outward, easy, public display. But Jesus says they've neglected the more important things. You know, we sing Micah's song here, which says, this is what I require, to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. Jesus says this is what the Pharisees have neglected to do. And if you're a part of Operation Whitewash, I mean, why would you do those things? They're just time-consuming. They're for the long haul. Well, I just want something quick and easy now. I need to maintain my pride and the way that people see me. Jesus says they strain out a tiny gnat but swallow a camel. And in our second one, verse 25. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee. First, clean the inside of the cup and dish. Then the outside will also be clean. Short answers again. What are some of the words, some of the phrases Jesus calls the religious leaders here? Greedy, yep. Hypocrites. Sorry, what was that one? Pride again, yep. Yeah, that's right. Dirty, unclean cups as well. Yeah, unclean, self-indulgent. I mean, this all just makes me think of Jesus' previous teaching with on the heart and all things flowing out from the heart, where he says that the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these things defile them. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person. This is what Jesus is talking about here. This is what Jesus is accusing these religious leaders of doing. So he's been confronting them with accusations of hypocrisy, blindness, foolishness, later on murder even. Just think, if this is the state of the leadership of Israel, just imagine what everyone else is like, the people who are listening to them. The flock that the leaders were meant to be protecting and leading. This is why Jesus here is so angry. This is why in the middle of the bustling temple court during the middle of Passover, he's in the workplace of these guys and he's just laying into them, saying, you have failed to do what you were meant to do, what God wanted you to do. The leaders had utterly failed to fulfill their role. It seems like a pretty hopeless situation that Israel is in at this time. Corrupt leadership, following whitewashed religion, pretty on the outside, dead on the inside. Friends, well, what we see is that this dire situation, this just chaos and mess and hypocrisy that Israel is in, it's exactly what God's rescue plan was designed to address. Because even during this confrontation, Jesus had already set in motion the plan to bring about rescue. Jesus, at this point, he already knows these leaders are trying to kill him. This is just a few days before they do kill him. Jesus knows the time for his death is drawing near. And Jesus is rebuking the religious leaders then. He says, go ahead then. Complete what your ancestors did. Complete what your ancestors did in killing the prophets who were sent to you. Because they had done that time and time again during the Old Testament. Jesus knows exactly what he's doing. He is provoking the religious leaders, and God's plan for salvation is drawing near. Yet even amongst all this religiosity, all this whitewashing, all this fakeness from the leaders, and the terrible state that Israel were in because of their leadership, we read in Romans that at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. At just the right time, Christ died for sinners, like you, like me. While we were still powerless to do anything to save ourselves from the power of sin that's reigning inside of us, while we were constantly failing at the temptation to want to impress people, at just the right time, Christ was crucified and he rose again from the dead. Just like that moment in Avengers Endgame, if you've seen it, when Thanos, the big bad guy, he has defeated everyone. Captain America is there standing alone. Impossible odds, complete defeat. And then you hear through the radio comms on your left. Portals open everywhere. The cavalry arrives just as they were supposed to, because there was a plan all along. When everything seemed hopeless, God's rescue plan was in motion at just the right time. Christ died for us. This looked like a dire situation, because it was. And it was God's plan all along for it to be that way. So that as the light of the world steps into the world and speaks truth to people who are living in darkness, people respond, people hear, people see the incredible news of salvation, of a way out of this mess. I asked us this before, but are we more concerned with how we appear to others than how we are before God? Maybe it could be the fact that, you know, similar to the religious leaders, you secretly love the title that you have at work. That can be really tempting, or the credentials you have that you get to slap on the end of that email signature as you send it out every single email. Maybe that's a temptation. You know, are our eyes on just these little habits and which keep up our appearances as we just neglect the filth and the sin which is going on inside the cup? Friends, we can't clean the inside of the cup ourselves. We can't clean all the sin and muck that's in our lives. We're all just full of it, me included. I mean, trying to stem the flow of all these evil thoughts coming from our hearts, it's like trying to dam Niagara Falls with a cork. We just can't do it. But because of Jesus, his death and his resurrection, we are able to humbly love the Lord with all of our hearts. We are able to love our neighbor as ourselves. And St. Clement's, here at 10:30, I've been genuinely so encouraged by the people here and just the way, like your attitude and all of that. I really just don't sense hypocrisy being a really big issue. But I know that as we leave here on a Sunday, it can be so easy, can't it? As we go back to our families, our jobs, and our friends, to not have this facade on. But let me encourage us. I need the reminder as well that hypocrisy can just creep so easily back into our lives. So it's useful to think, what gap do we have between our public persona and our private lives? It's not too late. We can bring it out into the open. We can share it with trusted Christian brothers and sisters, people who are here in this room. That's why we keep meeting each and every week. Ask for help. Ask for prayer. It might be something that you need to pray for a very, very long time. For God just to keep working in you day by day, interaction by interaction. And instead of living with this burden of insecurity, we can serve others with the gifts that we have been given. Where does this leave us today? Matthew 23, it's shown us whitewashed religion. Looks good, but it's dead inside. Operation Paperclip reminds us just how easily people sanitize things and hide corruption. But Jesus, he doesn't just sanitize. His blood cleanses us completely from the inside out. The Pharisees only clean the outside of the cup. Jesus goes straight to the heart. We don't need to perform. We don't need to pretend. We don't need to hide. Bring the inside of your cup to Jesus and live in the freedom that he gives and only he can give. I'm going to pray for us as we finish up. Please pray with me. Lord God, this time of year, a lot of us are thinking about the year that's just gone by and the year that is to come. Just pray now that the year that's coming, that it will just be a great year of spiritual growth for each and every one of us, that we won't feel like we're backsliding or plateauing or, you know, just coasting along. But Lord, I just pray that you'll be growing us to be putting away the sin and the muck that's on just on the inside in our hearts. That we'll keep coming to you for forgiveness and that you'll keep shaping us and conforming us to be like Christ this year. And we thank you for your word and the words of Jesus that we've been reading this morning as well. Amen.